Humiliation and Exaltation of Christ, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. 7 Steps Downward, Philippians 2, 6 through 8. 1. He let go the glory which he had with the Father. 2. He emptied himself. 3. He took the form of a servant. 4. He was made in the likeness of men. 5. He was found in fashion as man. He humbled himself. 6. He became obedient unto death. 7. Even the death of the cross. 7 Steps Upward, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. 1. God hath highly exalted him. 2. Given him a name which is above every name. 3. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow. 4. Of things in heaven. 5. Of things in earth. 6. Of things under the earth. 7. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Holy Place. The holy place was the place of the priest, where he ministered and did the service of God. It is especially a place of the priest, and it is our place now. 1 Peter 2:5. Here we are to worship and minister according to our title and fitness. True humility. It was a spiritual service, not fleshly. It is not humility to remain outside when the privilege had been opened to you. The privilege of priestly service does not depend upon anything in us or upon our worthiness. Jesus Christ has made it possible. We cannot stay on the outside and say, "I am not good enough." That is not deep humility, but is a very subtle form of self-love, self-centeredness, and self-pity that keeps us from real fellowship with Him. The really humble soul will look up and say, "O Lord, you have opened a glorious possibility for me. I yield this broken shell that I am, and I believe that your love and faith are enough to float it right in the midst of heaven to your glory." He wants to look upon us and see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He wants to see us all marching in, tattered, torn, in the fray, hungry, thirsty perhaps, but coming home to him. We honor his grace by taking full advantage of it, for he has plenty. The tabernacle discloses our privilege. He has saved us to bring us into worship and fellowship, not that we may serve. The benefit of worship and fellowship results in service to God. It makes us safe to go out and take the message to hungry hearts. We are then qualified and trustworthy. Door of the tabernacle contrasted with door of court. The door of the tabernacle was made of 5 pillars of acacia wood covered with gold, standing in sockets of brass. From these hung the covering of fine twined linen. The golden pillars had to stand in sockets of brass. It meant standing upon sin judged. The doorway into God says that sin has been judged and is under our feet. Christ has always been said to be the door, the way, John 10:9 and John 14:6. The gate at the door was broad, 20 cubits wide, saying, "Whosoever will." It bespeaks a broad general invitation, easy to get in. Man has indeed made it complicated, but the things of God are always simple. But entering this broad gate is only the initial step. The door of the tabernacle was narrower, 12 cubits wide. If we want to come into a deeper fellowship, we go through another door into a closer confinement with the Lord. It is a narrow door, but we are called out from the called out group that is in the court. This door is the door within the door. We are already in a place of security, but we go on into a place of security within one. This privilege into the holy place is now ours, Hebrews 10:19, where we find God's inner heart revealed to us. As we go in at the inner door, our vision is loftier, we begin to look up. The pillars of the gate and of the door. At the outer gate, there are 4 pillars, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, revealing Jesus to the world as he appears to the world in his earthly ministry and walk. Now, at the door of the tabernacle, there are 5 pillars, Paul, Peter, James, John, and Jude, revealing Christ to the believer. The epistles are complementary to the Gospels. They open up what is hidden in the Gospels. As we enter the tabernacle, we see the candlestick at the left, the showbread table at the right, and incense altar in front of us. The candlestick is one solid piece of gold. The incense altar is acacia wood covered with gold. The table is acacia wood covered with gold. Everything shines with gold. There is no natural light within. The curtain drops, and the priest stands there serving, and all the light he has is from the little tapers on the golden candlestick. This represents Jesus Christ as the light, John 8, verse 12. No service is accepted that is performed by the aid of natural light. The table. The table of showbread was made of acacia wood covered with gold. It was 3 feet long, 1.5 feet wide, 2.5 feet high, Exodus 25:23-30. It stood on the north or right side as you entered. The tabernacle faced east. East always suggests rising light and revelation. Christ is the bread of life. In the showbread table, the acacia wood represented the humanity of Jesus, and the gold represented his divinity. The border was fixed so that it stood upright and was made of gold, Exodus 25:25. It kept the bread from shifting and dropping from the table. It suggests our security. Nothing is ever taken from the hand of God. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, John 10:28. The word showbread means the presence bread. It was always there in the presence of God. There were 12 little loaves put upon the table, sometimes called cakes, 6 in a row representing Israel in unity, Leviticus 24:5-6. God always sees them as a unit. We see them dispersed and in discipline. In the sight of God, they are always unified. The golden hand is the hand of God holding them. The showbread also represents Jesus Christ in resurrection as the bread of life, John 6, verse 35. After he was gone, they were to eat the broken bread which spoke death, but also resurrect, Luke 22:19. Every Sabbath morning, these loaves were changed and given to the priests for food. Fresh ones were put in their place. We have the privilege of feasting upon Christ in resurrection. We must continually stand by the showbread table and eat of Christ in resurrection. Otherwise, we have no life to show forth to needy people. In John 6, verses 33-35 and verses 51-38 and Romans 5:10, we see that this is the special place in which we, as the priests, commune with God the Father. We together with God the Father rejoice in a unique fellowship. It speaks communion and not worship. We sit at the table for feasting and rejoicing. God the Father is delighted and the priest rejoices in the hidden values of Christ. Very few really know the sweet mystical fellowship of communion. The Spirit is a sensitive person. Essentially, we are spiritual and a spirit. By faith, we push up and get into Christ. Christ, our food. Christ is the food of our faith, Hebrews 12:1-2, of our hope, Galatians 5:5, of our joy, Philippians 3:14, and of our love, Romans 5:5. The life of communion is the life of privilege. He that has passed the brazen altar and has met its demands has been saved, that he might have fellowship with God. Looking at the table of showbread, we see Israel represented by the showbread. Israel is not cast off forever. The day is coming when she shall be restored. Christ represented in resurrection glory.